This episode was recorded in November 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Where are you, first of all?
I am in Puerto Rico, in my homeland. I am back here in Puerto Rico. Oh my God, there you have it. There I am.
Whereabouts on the map are you? Because I've got.
I am in the north, on San Juan.
You're in San Juan, are you?
Yes, sir.
What's the weather like in San Juan today?
It's a little cloudy because we have a vaguada. I don't know how you call that in English. When it rains for a few days, you know, yeah. We're getting all these winds because that's fall in Puerto Rico. It's only rain and rain and rain, October and November. That's our winter also. So, yeah, a lot of things coming from Africa. They show you how it comes. Everything comes from Africa directly. Yeah, but it's all good. You know, I'm here back in my homeland and myself that I would be here after.
Oh, you've just frozen again.
I was in the States. Huh?
You just froze for a tiny minute there. Listen, I wondered, since Jane the Virgin, have you received offers from all over the world because it was such a worldwide hit?
Thank you. No, I haven't. Well, I've received offers to work in mostly, and I'm doing them, Cartoon Network programs, audio. I'm doing Karma's World for Netflix, and I'm going to be doing something new. I'm going to be playing a dinosaur, a very dinosaur, just one episode in a new HBO Max cartoon. And then I just received an offer to do Romeo and Juliet bilingual in a new version. I did it for Joseph Papp many years ago in New York.
Yes.
Like for 18 months I played the nurse. So this is Romeo y Julieta, so they combine the Shakespearean language and then they go into the Spanish and then they go back into the English. So it's going to be an audio project also. So I haven't received any offers to be on camera to do anything from anywhere in the world. And the ones that I've received from North America, the Hispanic actor in North America, we have a problem, especially when you're older like me. And they only have two characters. Oh, maybe the maid. I refuse to play the maids unless they give me a human story behind the character. Because we're not given to play many parts of relevance. That's what it is. So therefore, we can't get nominated for this or that. Because, you know, the other day I had to reject a project that had four lines in Spanish, the same line in Spanish. Four times. And I understand the arc of the character, how he started and how he'd end. But four lines?
No.
In Spanish? When Kirsten Bell and the other African Americans, for an African American and a white woman in North America, those are the leads. And then we are always like that little filler. So I wish I would get more, and also the producers will say, well, once they see you as the abuela, they can't see you as a lawyer or as a this or as, you know, a professional, a DA, you know, mean woman, whatever. And that's why Meryl Streep, your Dame Judith, and all of these older actors, they don't play grandmas because they.
Yeah, but I was thinking, because Alba was such a get away from the stereotype, if you like, why don't you receive an offer to be M, the new M in Bond? Or I mean, you've done everything. I was hoping it would be changing by now.
You know, they don't, I don't get those offers. And I have a good agency, but the offers that I get are mostly from here, from North America, not many offers from the international world. And yes, Alba was modeled after me. And I appreciate that because first day of shoot, after I saw Gina doing a great scene on the porch with her mother, I had to walk in with a sandwich. And I said, no, I'm not bringing the sandwich. And they said, what? And I said, no, how can I am an actor of great caliber. How can I walk into a scene, ignore their emotional demeanor, and then offer her a sandwich? What? No, I'm not that kind of actor. I am more than that. I am sorry, I'm not bringing a sandwich, and I'm not wearing aprons, and I'm not cooking in this show. That's it. And Jenny Snyder-Ehrman, the showrunner, she respected that.
Fantastic. And, good.
Yes. And that's how you see my Alba, even using vibrators or whatever, you know, all these other, because Yvonne is crazy. So they went on with a little bit of my craziness and my mother's craziness, which is what I interpret for Alba.
But say a casting director or people, you know, directors and what have you, say they're seeing something like this. Do they know you want to play? Maybe an attorney or what? Do they know you want to play these different roles? And if you had one role that you wanted to play, what would it be?
Well, my agency knows that I want to play those roles. And when I was in my 40s, when I arrived in Hollywood, I did get to play those roles. I was a counselor, I was a lawyer, I was a psychiatrist. I'm not a lawyer, but a psychiatrist in a courtroom. And so I played a few things when you're in your 40s. After you turn a certain age, they kind of see you differently. Uh-huh. And I think that's what's gotten in the way, the perception they have that, oh no, she's this, she's the abuela, she's the grandmother. I wish there were incredible parts. Like you have Margot, there's an American actress that is a chubby actress that is like my age, and she gets to play everything, like the mean woman or the lawyer or the DA or the professionals. It's very difficult in North yes. America for the actor of Latino heritage. That's all I yes. can say. And I've been very lucky because I haven't stopped working since I got to Hollywood in the 1990s. Until now, until last year when I moved out, you know, but I'm still working for sure. Hollywood, but I do, you can see my resume, body of work. Are they relevant parts? Are they parts that you can gain notoriety with? Are they parts that you can move on to another project that they'll go, oh, she was great, let's move her into this. And I have a great agency. So my agents are the ones who get the offers. Actors do not get the offers, the agency. So there I am.
Do you think, just continuing on that theme, are you a victim of being so good in that? I mean, because I was going to ask you, when people see you in a restaurant or walking down the street, do they say Yvonne or do they go Alba? I mean,
Alba.
It's almost you're a victim of your own success as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. Here in Puerto Rico, before the pandemic, the cruise ships would come into the capital, into Old San Juan, and I'm walking down Old San Juan, and all these people are kind of following me. I'm like, what the heck? And there are younger girls, which are the fans. And so I walk into this store and I said, I think these people are following me because they want my autograph. So I'm just going to turn around, acknowledge them. They're not here to buy anything, believe me. And so I turn around and everybody's, oh my God, everywhere I go, Alba, Abuela, they don't know my name. Oh, some people do know my name. They go, are you Yvonne Call? Oh my God. So I'm like amazed that they know my name instead of the character's name. But yeah, they do identify me a lot with this character because I've been 5 years on the air with
yes. this one. Has it changed your life in that way where where perhaps before, I mean, you've done some amazing stuff. You've been on TV a lot of times, but since that character, since it's been so successful, you know, can you go down the road and buy a newspaper or a can of Coke or whatever? Or do you get, do people stop you and et cetera, et cetera?
Some, because of the masks now, I get away with murder.
Good one.
Thank you, God.
Use for them.
And then my glasses and a hat. Oh, nobody. But still, the fans will recognize the voice. And they will turn around and go, I recognize that voice. Are you Yvonne? Are you Alba? I mean, it's the voice. It's I don't know how, but that's the way it is. So, yeah, they recognize me a lot. And I really, and you know, in Puerto Rico, I used to have a show called Una Chica Llamada Yvonne Call. A girl called Yvonne Cole in the 1970s. So I have that generation because it was on the air for 2 years. And I was a singer dancer back then. I was not an actor. And although I think I was acting a character as a singer dancer, but, and so people, older people go, oh, una chica, la chica. And then the younger generation goes, abuela, abuela. So I go from the chica, from the youngin, to the abuela in a second. It's wonderful. God is good. Life is good. You know, I can't complain. You know,
I wondered because my 13-year-old daughter, she'll be coming in from school. We binge watched. I mean, she's loved Jane the Virgin. I don't know if she's old enough to watch it. I think she probably just is. We'll let her off with it. She's always loved Jane the Virgin. So she's telling, oh, you've got to ask her this and the other. So we binge watched her yesterday, but I was watching Teen Wolf as well. Now the character, you see, I thought the character you played in Teen Wolf was one scary as heck. Yeah. And I just wondered if that's the kind of part where people go, oh my God, she's not just abuela. She's, you know, because you were a gangster. You were electrocuting that poor fella. And you were quite smug about
it. I loved it.
I bet you did. Did you get any reaction to that?
When I did that, I was in the middle of starting Jane the Virgin, and I was coming out of Glee, which I already, I played the homophobic grandmother in Glee to Naya.
We'll come back in a minute, yeah.
And also in Switched at Birth, I was playing a grandmother who was talking in sign language, which I thought it was very progressive for a Hispanic woman to be represented, like she could do that too. When I did Teen Wolf, I don't think I was at, but the fans have discovered those works and they go, oh my God, you were so mean. Oh my God. But they still see me as Alba. Uh-huh. They rather prefer me, I guess, as Alba, but I enjoy those characters. Oh my God, the Teen Wolf character. I loved doing it. I love torturing them. And you know, when I went to the audition, they asked me to knit while they were being tortured. And I said, no, I'd rather needlepoint, because when you needlepoint, you're punching the needle in and out. And they accepted that too. So yeah, you bring your little things to fun parts, because it was such a different, and she has so much power and she could kill with a smile in her face. I loved it. I loved it because it was so unusual and so different from all the women, how we are portrayed. Even though I played, another in Heroes, I played a character which was what they call, you know, she would smuggle the people to North America. But she was just a regular woman who was who would do this on the side, and she knew the kids and whatnot. Yeah, she was not as mean. Yeah,
but old, but you couldn't get two more different, which shows your versatility. Is you know, your Teen Wolf character and the Jane the Virgin character, for example. I mean, they're just polar opposites, aren't they?
Yes, they are polar opposites, and I love it. Yes. It's like when I was playing, at the beginning of when I was doing the Scottish play on Broadway and off Broadway at the Public Theatre, I was playing King Duncan. And in the same play that I played King Duncan, I would play Satan and the old gypsy woman who spoke about they ate their horses. The horses ate each other. Yeah. So I went from that, from being those characters, to then Joseph wanted me to play Lady M. So I ended up playing Lady M, which she is fearless. Wow. Oh my God, this woman is like, no conscience about anything. It's about getting what she wants. So I've had the chance to play the opposites in the same production, basically. Yeah. Although in Romeo and Juliet, I always played the nurse. And in As You Like It, I started playing Duke Frederick. I play men because I'm a 5'8 tall woman. And, you know, so I played Duke Frederick. How now, daughter? And then I played in the same Phoebe. The teaser, the cock teaser Phoebe with Sylvia's. So from that, I went on Broadway to play Rosalind, which I always felt that was a little bit, I was 38, so I was a little bit too old, but you know, I got away with it. We did it. Rosalind in
what experience? Like it. What fantastic experience. Yes. Do you see yourself as almost like a trailblazer for Latino women in Hollywood, or do people tell you are a trailblazer, and the trailblaze wants to get more, doesn't it?
Yes, and I don't see myself as a trailblazer, but people do consider me a trailblazer for all those who are still yet, you know, fighting to get in. And I think, you know, I came all the way from Puerto Rico in 1975 to the United States to study acting. For the first, and I was 26 in October when I arrived, and in November I turned 27. I moved out of the States now when I'm 72. So it's like a whole, you know, the reverse of the numbers. When I moved to the States to study acting, we went to Los Angeles because we didn't want to be near Puerto Rico in New York because they would distract me by calling me to sing. So I erased all that face, mira, I erased this face. This is what I was doing in Puerto Rico.
Wow. Huh?
Yes. Wow. That's what I was doing. That's me. So I had to get away from all that, take off all that makeup, learn how to stand on a stage without being a showgirl. It was very hard, but I wanted so badly because I discovered finally what was my vocation, because I had been a runway model, a Miss Puerto Rico, and then a singer dancer. But all that led to me being my vocation, which is I am an actor. That's it. And when I discovered that in my life, I never looked back. This fulfills my life like nothing else has in the world.
But then, at the same time, if you cast off, I mean, you were Miss Puerto Rico in Miss Universe, you know, in The Godfather as a showgirl. I mean, you cast that off, and it's almost like coming full circle to cast off Alba. You've done it once. You've done it once. You can do it again.
But what do you mean to cast off?
Well, I mean, people, you had to get rid of that. I'm a model, a runway model. People see me as as a Miss Universe, as a showgirl singer, and I'm not. I want to be an actor, which you became, which you've done. Now it's almost like come the full circle where your people go, she's Abuela Alba.
Absolutely, but you know, that's a great compliment. But I think it's a great compliment because if you convince people that you are that person, that's your job as an actor, that you are fulfilling and portraying a human being to the full ability of its capacities. You know, I mean, hello, you know, more than two dimensions, you know, there is a three-dimensional character. So I think it's a compliment that they know me as Alba and for so long. That's what it is, because the show stayed for 5 years. It should have stayed for more, but you know, that's me wanting more.
Do you miss it?
I miss it. I miss going to work at 5 a.m, sit on that makeup chair, be with my fellow actors, and not only with the fellow actors, with all the crew. I miss the crew. I miss the DP. Lol, I miss him. That he would lift my face with the lights. I miss Jenny Snyder. I miss the directors of the show. I miss everything. And it was such a great camaraderie between the actors. We were really family, all of us. So I hope that they would bring maybe a movie, or something. You know, just a little movie of how Mateo grew up or whatever. And maybe Alba is like, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll play it. I play a 105-year-old woman that for a play that Jose Rivera wrote for me. It's called Adoration of the Old Woman. I plan to film it here in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yes, let's see how it goes. So I can wait because, you know, 105, you know, I have the rest of my life to be that old. But yes.
To keep in touch with the Jane Virgin crowd.
I do, but you know, just virtually. Yeah, just texting or Instagrams, but nothing like in person because I moved, you know, I moved to the island, so I'm not there anymore in those. Although Andrea lives in New York, everybody lives in a different place. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Can I just ask you, last one on Jane the Virgin, because we're watching last night and the sex shop scene with you is just priceless. It's priceless.
When she takes me to the sex shop, right?
Yeah.
I loved it. Alba is very conservative, even though I'm the one who played it because I'm not conservative, but Alba is very conservative and because she's very Catholic. So therefore her religiousness overshadows, but you know, her individuality sometimes, but she's in North America. This is what I figured. She's in North America. In North America, as a Latina, you don't care what your neighbor or the other thinks of you because nobody cares. In a Latino country, you are looking at, oh, what will the neighbors say if you dress like that or if I do this or if I do that? That's how we are. Like in my country, we're like that. But in North America, who cares? You pay your rent, you work to sustain your family, nobody cares. So I figured, okay, so she dares to go there with her granddaughter because her granddaughter is taking her and she's protected in a way, but she's also curious because Alba, and this is something that I wanted her to be, and I focused on that from the beginning, she's very sexual. She's a sexual being. It's the same like Rita Moreno said that for One Day at a Time, that she would play the abuela if they would make her sexual. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because somehow when you're older, you become asexual. As a character, especially Latina actresses, they're dressing as dowdy and with aprons. And never wore an apron in Jane. You never saw that. She's always nicely dressed because, and I told them, I will not play the maid. I will only go out to work. Maybe she's nursing people who are older, like my mother was, and she had illegal people in Puerto Rico taking care of her until she died, you know? That would bathe her and feed her and do everything in the house. That's what Alba started to do. And then she ended up in the gift shop. But these are very, you have to be so careful. You have to like set your perimeters. And if they respect you enough, I think they respected me enough to follow through what I was requesting with the character because I'm an older person, you know? Really? And they respected the fact that I had so many years doing so much. I made a living doing theater only in New York. I can do anything else. I made a living doing theater. And now it's gone. Now it's gone because you know how it is.
It's a worrying time. I did read and I haven't been able to see it, but you made From Now On, which you directed and you started. Is that something, a way forward? Is that something you'd like to do, is take control of perhaps stories you'd like to get made in the future?
Yes, that's why I made From Now On, because From Now On depicts two women who are in their older age, Latinas, professionals, refined, with language, with intelligence, and with a different kind of normal sexuality, what they would consider the normal sexuality for the Latin. I wanted to push all those boundaries and show that we are as progressive, as intelligent, and as capable of being portrayed in these type of characters. It was very important for me to especially with an older woman, you know, because they don't see us anything and they don't see us as sex beings. So I wanted to do that. The From Now On movie, you know, it was my first experience as a director, as a co-writer, as a producer of films. I think that when they get to San Francisco, these two characters, I don't think their relationship is going to be working at its best, because my character was so still conservative and so, because she's Puerto Rican. I made her like me, Puerto Rican. Puerto Ricans are very conservative and very Catholic. And so all these things that hold her back. And then the other one, she is more like open to the idea. I think when they get to San Francisco, the other one will shave her hair and she will do things. And I will still be like, oh, but that with people. Okay, no, I won't think like that. You know? So that's how I see the sequel, if there is ever a sequel. But I do want to, what I do want to produce is Adoration of the Old Woman by Jose Rivera. Uh-huh. Jose Rivera was nominated for an Oscar for the diaries, the, ¿cómo se llaman? Los diaries de Che Guevara, the motorcycle diaries. Uh-huh. He was nominated for that script.
Right.
So, so he wrote this a play with me in mind, and it's a realism, magical realism play, takes place in Puerto Rico in the future where there is a plebiscite. Like right now, there is a plebiscite right now, who knew? Mm. So, but it brings about other, it's so such a beautiful play that to make it into a film is gonna cost me a lot of money, but it's gonna be worth it because it's gonna be part of our history and part of our culture in Puerto Rico, I hope. You know, so these are the, you know, when I look at television from Spain, for example, and movies from Spain here in Puerto Rico, when I see and I see their stories are so different, so progressive, and so unusual. Why can't we do that in North America? In North America, there is a system that if you get out of that system, then you get a lot of obstacles.
Yes.
To produce, you know? Yeah. But I'm here in Puerto Rico. I can produce it myself. I don't care. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
Listen, last couple for you. Are you a good cook?
I am a great cook, and I learned how to cook for myself because in my house, we always had cooks in Puerto Rico. Because, not because we were rich, but because my mother was always working as a hairstylist. So we would hire people to clean and to cook. So that's what I brought into Alba. That's why you never see her cooking or cleaning.
I saw a video of your dressing room when you had a picture on your wall with Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck, Jose Feliciano. Do you still sing?
I don't sing like professionally like that.
You sing in the shower.
Yeah, I sing in a shower. I sing for now better than ever. That I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just personality, sexy, whatnot. You know, it's like falling in love again.
I've been singing.
What am I to do? I can't help it. A la Marlene Dietrich and everything.
Fantastic.
But it's great music. It's incredible music. I mean, it's brilliant. But it's...
Yes. They're remaking it as well, aren't they? But that...
Anyway, yes. And I saw a part in Spanish and English. They did a Viva Broadway the other day. And I saw Karen Olivo, which got a Tony. Cabrón, mató a tu hermano. That's how she said, and I'm like, what? She just said a bad word.
Yeah.
Maria is a black Puerto Rican girl. Hallelujah. They never cast black people. Black Puerto Rican people are never cast in anything. So I'm very happy for that.
What I was going to say, come to England. We love you over here.
Oh, I would love to come to England. Get your agent
to start casting around in England. You don't realize. Well, you would have to wear a mask and glasses walking in London because people will be shouting at you. They'd all want to buy you drinks and buy food and you can come and play all the fantastic roles over here because we'll have you. We'll take you.
Love it. I'm dying to go to England. Are you crazy? You know, I've been part of your culture in a way, you know, by studying Shakespeare and getting imbued from all those stories. Yes. Oh, my God.
Listen, do you know what?
And you know what? Let me tell you something.
Yeah, go on, tell me.
A little detail from Jane the Virgin. Jenny Snyder Ehrman gave us the name Gloriana. All of us are called Alba Gloriana Villanueva. Xiomara Gloriana, Jane Gloriana, because Gloriana, I think, was a nickname or a middle name or a name for Queen Elizabeth, the one that in the back, the one that was Henry VIII's daughter. Yeah, her nickname or something was Gloriana. So in her own little way, our writer, to pay tribute to that queen, and because it was a show about three females, women, like she was the woman who generated everything in England, and that she was so strong, that Elizabeth. So yeah, she gave us that name. So check it out. That's what she told me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He just lived down the road, Henry VIII, from where I am now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He was at Hever Castle with Anne Boleyn. He was at Hampton Court, which is just down, just a bit further away. Was his palace as well. So you'd love it. Oh, Gloriana, the Honourable Elizabeth, you'd love it.
I promise when I come to England, I will visit you first of all.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. I'd love to. Listen, thanks for joining us. You're an absolute superstar. We love you. You take care.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much for this opportunity.